We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, our Penn State football and recruiting questions from you guys for Greg Pickle here. The segment brought to you, as always, by TailgateWine.com, where they have the perfect gift for that Penn State fan in your life. Check out the blue and white wine gift box. They also have some other wine and barbecue pairings with sauces and rubs. You can check all of it out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. Our friends at tailgatewine.com are giving away a bottle of wine to the best question of the day, as determined by Greg Pickle here. So these are your questions, most of which came through the Keystone Sports app. If you don't have it by now, you can listen to everything that we do through the Keystone Sports app. You can also use the Ask Greg and the Ask Ross buttons to fire off questions to try to win some prizes and hear what these guys have to say. They are, you can't see it right now, I'm using air quotes, they are experts on Penn State football and recruiting. So you get to tap into that and maybe win a bottle of wine too. So perfect, perfect little pairing there. I'm going to start the questions here as long as you're ready, Greg.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Mike from Bryn Mawr, PA, do you think Franklin is targeting three stars so that he doesn't lose as much depth in the portal in the next few years because they are developmental players?
No. I think that you look at a lot of the guys that left, and outside of Juwan Johnson, they were almost all three stars, weren't they? I mean, these are the kind of guys that do leave because they're depth pieces that could turn, you know, you could have a Trace McSorley who turns into a five-star talent as a three-star, or you could have, you know, someone like Aaron Monroe, for example, or Jarvis Miller, who good players, but they weren't going to crack, you know, the lineup at Penn State, so they tried to find a place that they would. So I don't think they're taking three stars to make sure that the depth for the poor. I think these are the kind of guys that actually do end up transferring down the road because you might recruit somebody better than what they develop into being.
I think recruiting to avoid having a guy to transfer in 3 years is one of the number.
It's a pretty tough thing to do.
One of the top ways to get yourself fired. Let's put it that way. You know, say when you're drafting in the NFL, mm-hmm. drafting out of need is a big mistake. Drafting to avoid the transfer portal, recruiting to avoid the transfer portal is also a big mistake. I like this question just specifically about, okay, why is he targeting three-star players?
Right.
Number one is they are not three stars in Penn State's coaching staff's minds. Having seen them, the two JUCO kids, Norval Black and Jair Brown, having seen Fatoma Mulba, the 6'3", 270-pound defensive tackle from Susquehanna Township, a lot of potential there. Need some polish for sure. Who am I forgetting here? Tyler Elsden, the three-star linebacker from North Schuylkill, also seemed to have tested well at camps. These are not three-star players in the coaching staff's minds. And take, you know, for better or worse, that's what Penn State fans are going to have to contend with, is they're going to have to trust the evaluations of Penn State's staff. I raised the question, I think, off air, you know, after hearing Julian Fleming, you know, his reasoning for wanting to leave the state of Pennsylvania to go to Ohio State. Is there some kind of overreaction to that and Penn State staff saying, you know what, we want guys who want to be here and seeing these decommitments happen. We want guys who are Penn State material through and through, and these are it. I tend to think more that they just don't view these guys as three-star players. I think they see a lot more potential in them than the recruiting services do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that, you know, Penn State pays attention to star rankings, and if you think that's false, go look at James Franklin's comments from signing day since he's been here. He almost always mentions during his opening statement where they rank in the recruiting service list. And that's because, again, as we've talked about before, stars make an impact, but they're not end all be all. And sometimes your evaluation of a kid is going to differ from the recruiting analyst. Sometimes you'll be right and sometimes you won't.
Here's a question, Ken from Mount Holly Springs. On the June 17th show, proof that people are listening, maybe what I said earlier about say whatever you want. People are going to forget it anyway. Maybe I'm wrong.
Now we're talking.
So Ken asked on the June 17th show, we were both asked, what one pre-Franklin player would you add to the 2019 roster? Any player before James Franklin arrived.
Right.
You can just add them to the 2019 roster. How could neither of us pick a left tackle? You, I believe, said Courtney Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I said Allen Robinson.
I think that's right.
As a deep threat, go up and get it type wide receiver. Why did you not pick a left tackle?
I guess I would have if given the choice to do it again, but it just didn't occur to me at that moment in time to pick a left tackle. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, a left tackle is important. Yeah, I think any part of the line is important. And maybe the bigger point there is not so much about the left tackle, but would you pick the meanest lineman that you could find in Penn State history, put him on this line, and hope, like, heck, that it works, makes all the other four guys play that way. So it's a fair question, but I don't know. I'd have no good reason or explanation for that.
I guess for me, it's buying into the commitment that Penn State's making to Rasheed Walker.
Right.
And understanding that there are going to be bumps in the road, but I would be excited as a coach to start his development journey right now. Let's take that development journey up a notch and let this kid play, and I'm buying into the commitment to do that. So that was my thinking, I guess. And ultimately, there's no right or wrong way to answer that unless you're Ken from Mount Holly Springs, and then our ways are both wrong. Dominic from Cranberry Township, have you guys noticed how this recruiting season is eerily similar to that of 2018? I would contend different class, but anyway, in 2018, there was a flurry of decommitments, including the top rated player in Pennsylvania and the top five national player in Micah Parsons. Additionally, in 2018, there was a flurry of commits in and around the blue-white game. This year, the timing of the flurry was different because of changes in the recruiting calendar. However, quite similar. I also remember how depressed and despondent Nittany Nation was then and is now, but 2018 turned out to be pretty good. Maybe Nittany Nation should learn how to be patient.
Yeah.
Maybe they should.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, recruiting is – I guess the one thing I would say in this regard is that recruiting now more than ever is different than it's ever been. And it's not just the rules. It's not just social media. It's the fact that they changed the recruiting calendar. Dustin, we can go back and listen. If we want to go back and listen to shows, let's go listen to shows from 2 or 3 years ago. And what this time of the month, this time of the year, we weren't talking about recruiting. Because it was a quiet time. You'd have a couple of camps, maybe one or two kids would commit, and that would generally be it. Now with the spring and summer official visits and kids coming to campus in June, it's turned into, I would say, besides December and February when the signing periods are, June might now become the third most active recruiting month because kids want to lock up spots when they have the chance to, and they want to go on visits. And when they do that, they're able to see things and narrow down their recruitment. So I think that, yeah, patience maybe, but I think it's more about just an awareness of the calendar at this point in time.
And I think that Penn State has created this funnel where this is what they wanted to set up, mm-hmm. a situation right. where they got kids to take whatever visits they wanted, including to their own campus, and they were going to press for decisions maybe at this time of the year as opposed to earlier or later. This is year two of this new calendar, and I think that it would appear that Franklin has made a change to really his approach accordingly, including the no official visits for blue-white.
Right.
Maybe saving those up for later.
It's a tough balance because you're competing with a lot of other schools to get kids on campus then. And you also want to make sure that kids can visit you during the season because what is a better recruiting environment than a whiteout game? I mean, some kids will be able to afford to do that on their own dime. Some kids won't be able to. So you have to really, I don't want to say play the percentages, but you have to pretty much bet, based on each individual kid's situation, what you think is the right time to have him set up that official visit. Some will be for the blue-white game, some won't be. But the blue-white game is a logistics disaster no matter what, and I think that has as much to do with it as anything. If your kid's coming on an official visit, it better be a special day. And the time demands that the blue-white game and all of that comes with it, for both recruiting and on the field, etc., it makes it hard, I think, harder at least, to have every kid have a special day when he's on campus.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. This is Ask Greg. Penn State football and recruiting questions from you guys brought to you by our friends at tailgatewine.com. Let me see. The next question I have for you, Mike from York. From last year until now. Have you? From last year till now, we haven't stopped hearing about Micah Parsons. Brandon Smith came in as an early enrollee five-star linebacker too, and he's hardly been mentioned. Why is Smith not garnering Parsons-like media coverage?
Yeah, this is a really good question because I think that it's on a lot of people's mind. I think it's because Micah Parsons is on the roster. There was no one like Micah Parsons when Micah Parsons came to Penn State, if that makes sense. But
yeah.
With Brandon Smith, you know, and the other thing too, I think, is that you could easily envision I'm just going to call him a starter last season. It was totally ridiculous that he wasn't. But you can envision the first team spot for Micah Parsons based on last year's depth chart. Where is it for Brandon Smith this time around? The other thing is he's not from Pennsylvania. He was right in our backyard. So it was a lot more, I don't want to say in your face, but a lot more, I think the awareness was heightened because of where he played. And Brandon Smith played at the very good high school, but it's in Virginia. And I think that played a role too. Good question. And I just think it comes down to circumstance as much as anything else.
Well, I think Parsons just on the freak spectrum is just a much more freakish athlete. Also from Pennsylvania. Also, his recruitment turned into a soap opera.
Right.
So all those factors together, and with the Ohio State and naming his dog Brutus and committing, decommitting, recommitting, taking all the Clemson's and Alabama's and Georgia's, considering all these schools, like Parsons just attracted a lot more attention for several reasons. But I mean, it's a fair point at its core that Brandon Smith too is a big time linebacker prospect. But I think, you know, the depth chart thing, as for why we're not talking about him right now, we're not sure he's going to burn his red shirt this year. We think he might.
Right.
But we can't say that with a lot of certainty because there's a lot of bodies on the depth chart now.
Exactly. Probably more than there was at this point last year, for sure.
I wanted to touch on this question from David from Lakewood Ranch because I think it's pretty funny. Last question before we pick the winner. Fans like to play the what-if game. Now it's your turn. Let's say as a parting gift, Jim Delaney says that all Big Ten teams have to play a 3-4 defense. Would you play more of the younger linebackers, bring in Owe as an outside linebacker, or what would you do? At the end of the day, who you got?
Well, read that question again. That
if Penn State was forced to transition to a 3-4 because Jim Delaney in his last year's Big Ten commission said they had to.
I got it.
What would you do?
I think you'd probably bump Owe back, and you would have him be a stand-up rusher for sure. I think Shaka Toney's value would increase tremendously.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the real – you would get somebody like a Kevin Givens who could be kind of both defensive end and defensive tackle.
Cam Brown would be an inside linebacker, I believe,
yeah, in that situation. I think so too, yeah. No, it would be interesting. It's actually fascinating to think about.
Maybe we'll do a whole segment on if Penn State were to play a 3-4 defense.
Well, as long as guys keep committing, we won't have to. But if guys stop committing, we might have to go there. We're not quite to the season yet.
All right. Who had the best question?
That Parsons question. Let's go with that.
Why Smith isn't getting as much attention as Parsons.
Yeah.
Mike from York. Be on the lookout for an email from us, and a bottle of tailgate wine is coming your way. Thanks, everybody else, for your questions and for tuning in this week. If you don't have the Keystone Sports app, go download it right now and check us out on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.